This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What's up, everybody? It's Jason McIntyre here. Straight Fire, Thursday, September 17th. We got a big night of football ahead. Bengals, Browns, can't wait to dig into that game. We have some NBA Game 2 Heat Celtics. We have a great guest coming up later in the podcast, the irascible Rob Parker, a guy I work with at FS1. I've done a lot of radio with him. He has a show, The Odd Couple, on Fox Sports Radio. All around good guy, loves to argue about anything. But before we get to any of that, we have our first two winners to announce. Okay? In the lucky $100 Venmo giveaway for the, we'll call it what, the five-star contest, Rob G. I think this was so successful, and you guys left so many good comments on iTunes that we're definitely going to do this again. Maybe make it a monthly thing, we'll see. So Rob G, first of all, the creativity here just must be applauded. So impressive. We have two winners today for $100, so here's what, Rob G will read the winners right now. And you guys will have to shoot me an email, DM, tweet at me, whatever. And then I will Venmo you the money. Rob G, give us the two winners that you picked out.
All right. Again, there were some very good candidates. It was a tough task to pick just two. But the first one that I chose was Dolomite06, who left this comment on Friday. So he was on this early. He did a little acronym. It's called Straight Fire F. First thing in the morning. You don't have to wait all day for this to hit your phone. I, intense opinions. J Mac doesn't tiptoe around issues, but he also doesn't yell at you and get all worked up like a lot of the other sports media. R, Rob G pushes back. He's not a yes man, and it's great to have an opposing viewpoint without too many voices and people stepping on each other and interrupting. Very good conversational flow. And E, entertaining guests, not just the former current players. He gets people from a variety of backgrounds. And in closing, it might be my new favorite podcast. Thanks for the great content.
Okay, I just need to make sure. Rob G, that is so well done by Dolomite. Did you write that and then post it under your wife's iTunes account? I just have to ask.
I'm not that creative. I mean, if I was, I would. If I thought I could game the system and get $100 out of you, I totally would.
Yeah.
I just don't think I'd do as good as these guys.
Now, congrats, Dolomite06. Hit me up and I'll Venmo you $100. All right, next up.
This next one came to us courtesy of Coach Smith on Monday. So this was a late edition, almost like right there at the buzzer. And it's titled Straight Fire, and straight is spelled with a number 8 and F-Y-R-E. Shout out to Ja Rule and the Fire Festival. Was a big hit, as you know. Now, he did a full rap. He had a little music emoji. I'm going to try to rap it the way that it's written. Here we go. Yo, his name is Jay Mack. Every morning on the attack. In my downloads before breakfast, got my early commute feeling reckless. Laughs in life, advice on deck. Sports takes and interviews that'll keep you in check. Better yet, this pod is your best bet.
Woo!
And don't forget to subscribe and review. My guy Colin Cowherd ain't got nothing on you.
Wow.
Love it so far. Keep up the good work, Jason and Rob. Shout out to Coach Smith.
Bars. Oh my goodness. I feel like if you put that over like the 8 Mile wrap off at the end, it would just be, I mean, it would just hit perfect. Wow. Well done, Coach Smith. Hit me up. Get paid in the Escalade. All right. Remember, guys, subscribe, rate, and review. And there's one more chance now. If you can get in your review today, 5-star review, something witty, something compelling, like Dolomite or Coach Smith, you'll have your chance to win the final $100 courtesy of yours truly. So Browns-Bengals tonight, not the sexiest game on paper, but I want to get into the game because of a story I read in the New Yorker a little while back. It was about this screenwriter named Ben Hecht, super interesting guy who was, as a young kid, a voracious reader, and then he was about to go to college, and like 3 days in, he's like, you know what, forget this. I want to live that exciting life. So he just bolts to Chicago. And he's kind of living on the streets for a minute, and then he gets a job as a journalist, and he kind of blows up, and then this guy moves to New York City, and all of a sudden he's making the right connections. He has those street smarts from living on the streets there for a little bit after high school, and he takes that stuff that he learned on the streets, you know, just the toughness, the partying, the smoking, the drinking, the fearlessness, and he applies it to screenwriting, and he goes from New York to LA and Hollywood, and he starts creating these characters essentially based on his days in the streets. and they were characters that everybody loved. The audiences gobbled them up. Flamboyant characters, they broke all the rules. They ended up paying dearly for it in the end, but the audiences just loved them. And when I look at Browns Bengals tonight, I think Baker Mayfield is that guy. He is the guy who audiences love. Audiences love when you take a risk. And Baker Mayfield, I mean, who's taken a bigger risk than Baker Mayfield? I mean, this is a guy who coming out of high school was a three-star recruit. He had offers from FAU, New Mexico, Rice. And he says, you know what? Forget that. I'm going to Texas Tech. I'm going to walk on. And of course, because, you know, he's a character in a movie, Baker Mayfield, what happens? The starter gets hurt. Baker Mayfield climbs up the quarterback chart there. And as a walk-on freshman, he starts and boom, Baker Mayfield's 5-0. I mean, he's unbelievable. Great start. Amazing story. One of the best stories in college football. Then he gets hurt, and that kind of threw him off, and he tries to come back. And the coach at the time, Cliff Kingsbury, now the coach of the Arizona Cardinals, was like, we're not going to offer Baker a scholarship. And at this point in the story, you know, think about this as a movie, right? One of these characters by Ben Hecht. And you're like, oh, well, I guess it's over. That's it. He had a good run. No. Baker Mayfield bettered himself once. He's going to better himself again. He goes to Oklahoma, wins a Heisman Trophy. Takes Oklahoma to the college football playoff. This guy's an amazing story. How easy is it to root for Baker Mayfield? Even his arrest caught on video, or he just tries to run from police and gets tackled. You can root for this guy. I mean, who hasn't been drunk and done something insanely stupid in college? I mean, come on. And Baker Mayfield then is the number one pick. Everything that he did in college, remember talking trash on the sideline? Remember he grabbed his junk? He would go at the Ohio State game where he won. He takes the flag and plants it in the middle of the field. This is an underdog story that audiences love. But audiences love this because they're probably a little fearful to take that chance themselves. It's a big leap of faith. And in my little slice of the world, when I quit my job as a magazine, I was at a magazine in New York City. I quit. And I said, I'm going to go do this blog full time. And it was like, okay, try explaining that to your mother-in-law and father-in-law. Yeah, we just got married. I'm going to quit. And I'm going to try to do a sports blog. Like, ultimately, it turned out all right. Here I am, you know, 15 years later, things are going well. And it's easy to root for that story, but it's also a big risk. Yeah, I mean, listen, I took a massive leap of faith. Baker Mayfield bet on himself and won. A good buddy of mine, I don't know if he's listening to this podcast. We grew up together. He was a really good soccer player. We were on teams together. And he ended up moving away to Tennessee. And he was a really great high school soccer player. He was the Gatorade State Player of the Year. And he had offers from Vanderbilt and all these schools. But he wanted to go to Notre Dame. He really had his heart set on Notre Dame. And they said, well, you can walk on. And he took that as a slap in the face. He walked on. By his junior year, he was the captain of the Notre Dame soccer team. You know those little cards with the schedule they hand out in college? His image was on the card. It's just a great story. He's now living outside of Philadelphia. We still keep in touch. I don't know if he's listening to this episode. I didn't tell him I was going to mention his story. Just a great guy. And I root for those stories. And that's why I think we're rooting for Baker Mayfield. But the problem is you get to the NFL and it's like, okay, your story was great. Can you deliver and be the face of our franchise? That's what we want. We've seen a lot of guys in recent years. Jameis Winston had the shot. They gave him 5 years in Tampa. Okay, thank you for your service. You had a good run. You didn't cut it. He's now backing up, I think, Drew Brees in New Orleans. Marcus Mariota, same deal. Just like Winston. Just like Baker Mayfield, won a Heisman Trophy, a lot of hype, gets to the NFL, and that storybook ending, oh, he's going to win a Super Bowl. And I mean, Marcus Mariota is now the backup in Vegas. Now, he did win at least a playoff game, which was nice. And then you have the real cautionary tales like Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel, who, I mean, he flamed out quicker than almost anybody. First round pick, Cleveland Browns, obviously. And again, a guy easy to root for. Party animal. The stories you hear about him at Texas A&M in College Station are just legendary. Closing down bars, you know. But eventually you've got to grow up and mature and take that leap into, okay, I'm not a kid and a party animal. I'm now the face of a billion-dollar franchise. And that, Johnny Manziel wasn't cut out for that. Is Baker Mayfield? We're going to find out. I don't know if we're going to find out tonight, but it's a great Thursday night matchup because Baker's going against the guy who's kind of got next, right? Another amazing story, Joe Burrow. You know, this was a guy like third on the Ohio State depth chart. It can't really get on the field. Transfers to LSU. Has an ordinary year at LSU. 16 touchdowns, nothing special. Gets the right playbook, the right offensive coordinator, the right skill position players, and he goes from 16 touchdowns to 60. I mean, Joe Burrow is an all-time great story. His, like, the rise of Joe Burrow is just phenomenal, and I'm fascinated to see if he's going to be that guy. And it's weird just watch Baker Mayfield, who, remember, 2 years ago, he broke the NFL record for most touchdown passes by a rookie. I believe Peyton Manning and Russell Wilson had it. Baker set the record. Last year, he came out and he was a dud under Freddie Kitchens. Week one. We'll see. But it's weird that the rise happens in the NFL so quickly. And then it's like, okay, you got to deliver. What do you got? We don't know what Baker has. Joe Burrow, you're now on the clock. Week one was eh. Listen, I bet on Burrow. He got me a push. Should have had the win. I'm still angry about that AJ Green push off. That was called. But at any rate, I'm excited about the game tonight. And you're going to hear more about this in the best bet later. I want to quickly talk about the NBA just very briefly before we get to our guest. And, you know, there is Celtics Heat tonight. I do not have an actionable wager. I do feel like this is a toss-up. The game, the series, you saw it went overtime. Bam Adebayo blocking a dunk is the difference between the Celtics being up 1-0. And, oh, no, the Heat are in trouble, too. Oh, maybe the Celtics are in trouble. my guy to watch tonight is not a sexy guy. Jay Crowder. Is he going to make 5 3-pointers again? 5 for 9. I thought he was the difference outside of the Bam block. If they're going to get 5 of 9 from deep from Jay Crowder, Heat are going to be tough to beat. You know what Jimmy Butler's giving you. You know what Goran Dragic is going to give you. But Jay Crowder shot 34% from deep in the regular season. He shot 34% from deep against Indiana. And then he shot 43% against the Bucks. Listen, if he duplicates that, Celtics ain't going to win this series. And conversely, I think Kemba Walker's got to be the guy for Boston. Remember, when he struggled late in the series against Toronto, the Raptors made some moves. And Kemba comes out in game one. He did hit a couple clutch step-back shots. But overall, 6 for 19, that's not going to cut it. 1 of 9 from deep. And until they get Gordon Hayward back, I don't know if you can rely on Marcus Smart to make 3-pointers, 6 3-pointers at the rate that he did. Kemba's got to deliver. And, I don't have a pick on the game. Honestly, this is a toss-up. I'll look at some player props and maybe pump those out on social media as it gets closer to game time. And a quick word on Lakers-Nuggets, which tips Friday. And I just have to say, I'm not going to beat up the Clippers. This is strictly about the Lakers and the Nuggets. But when I look at this series, I thought a lot about this on Wednesday. And I talked to a bunch of people in Vegas to try to get a vibe. And I am going to, I'm going to be betting on the Lakers to sweep the Denver Nuggets. And I've mentioned this movie scene before because I absolutely love it. It's Troy. It's Brad Pitt as Achilles, and he's on the boat ready to storm the shores, and he's giving this speech to his team. His group is called the Myrmidons, just these savage killers. And Brad Pitt looks at him. Yeah, it's like 40, 50 guys. And he says, "I'd rather fight beside you than an army of thousands. Let no man forget how menacing we are. We are lions." And you just, it's one of these scenes that you get pumped up watching it. And he closes it by saying, "You know what's over there, beyond that beach, immortality. Take it, it's yours." And I can see LeBron giving a similar speech to the Lakers right before the Denver Nuggets series. He is the guy that the Clippers didn't have. Clippers didn't have somebody to stand up in the locker room and give an impassioned speech. It's just not in Kawhi's DNA. Paul George can't give that speech, come on. Pat Beverly can't, who's he? Lou Williams can't. LeBron can. He's going to stand up and tell these guys, "Yo, we squashed them in the regular season. They're exhausted from that series against the Clippers. By the way, did you see what happened to the Nuggets after their tiring 7-game series against the Jazz? They got blitzed in the first game by the Clippers. They lost by 23. The Lakers, if they can get by this first game against the Nuggets, I'm predicting a sweep. And we know the first game has given the Lakers some problems. Lost to the Portland in the first game. Couldn't make a three. Lost to Houston in the first game. And both series, that was all they needed to see. They rebounded and dominated. And I can see LeBron saying to these guys, they just beat the Clippers. Okay? Let's go show these guys who we are, because we wanted the Clippers. And LeBron James, I'm just telling you, okay? The night that Giannis got bounced from the playoffs and the MVP was done, LeBron hung 36 on the Rockets. It was a, go look up the video. It was game three. 36, 7 boards, 5 assists, 4 blocks. Just bullying Houston all over the court. I'm telling you, the Clippers, a lot of people in the media picked the Clippers. I was on the Lakers all along. A lot of people picked the Clippers. And LeBron is going to come out and say, you guys picked those guys. Okay. The Nuggets just beat those guys. And I can see an evisceration from LeBron James. They do not have anybody to guard him. The Nuggets are in some trouble here. Nobody on Denver is built to hang with LeBron. Jeremy Grant, he'll do a capable job. Michael Porter Jr. is going to get the Austin Rivers treatment if he's ever matched up with LeBron. And Michael Porter Jr. can block some shots. He's long. But he is going to get just beaten to a pulp in the post by LeBron. And I guess I would close out with saying this. Lakers are 7-point favorites in game one. You know, we'll get to that on the Best Bet Friday. But I something just tells me this is going to be a bloodbath. Remember last year, Warriors did not have Kevin Durant. Oh, Portland can play with gold. Portland can play with Golden State. We might have something. Sweep. Folks, this is a Denver Nuggets team that's good. Barely got out of the first round. They were down 3-1 to the Jazz and getting their teeth kicked in. This is not a great team. LeBron is going to be the best player on the floor. No disrespect to Jokic. Anthony Davis is the second best player on the floor. All right. Let's get to our guest. The only man I know who's been on a Golden Girls cruise. Yes, that's a fact. Rob Parker.
You know a guy.
Jason likes to think he knows everything when it comes to sports.
I know what sports fans want.
But for everything he doesn't, he knows a guy who does.
Let's just say I know a guy who knows a guy who knows another guy.
All right, let's welcome in my main man, Rob Parker. He does it all, folks. Rob Parker, he's on The Odd Couple on Fox Sports Radio. He does shows on FS1. He has a podcast on the Herd Radio Network. He's going to come in hot as usual, whether we talk about the Detroit Lions, Tom Brady, Odell Beckham. But Rob Parker, we have to start with the biggest story in sports. Your Los Angeles Clippers, who you have loved all season. You are back in Kawhi. You love blasting LeBron. I'm going to give you the floor for a minute. You could apologize to LeBron if you want, or just talk about what happened to those frauds, the LA Clippers.
You know what? Of course, this is the day that you are relishing because you've been so wrong and so much losing when it comes to LeBron. So enjoy your day in the sun. And yes, the Clippers, they choke. That's all it is. I'm not going to soft soak it, change it. They choked in this situation. I'll give Denver some credit, but the Clippers should have closed them out. So, first time I saw Kawhi really not be that guy. It has happened before to other great players, but this was a time I was really surprised. The Clippers got him for just – what they needed him for, which was game 7. That's why you go out and get a guy who's done that, you know, been there, done that. And he did not come through for the Clippers. And they wind up losing the series that they should have won.
I called Kawhi a load management fraud all season. Rob, he goes 6-for-22 in game 7. He no-showed in the second half of the series, shooting 34%. And it's not like he was facing a defensive juggernaut. Okay, in the Nuggets, who are an average defensive team. I mean, when I look at the choke level that this was, this to me is way worse than the Warriors choking away the 3-1 lead in the finals against LeBron.
Never.
Yeah, no, it's way worse.
You can't make that argument. First of all, they won 73 games, which was the most in NBA history, and they had down LeBron and them 3-1, and that team was supposed to finish the job after they had that record-setting season. All they needed to do was win one of three games, two of the games were at home and they lost. But two games. They didn't lose three games all year, three games in a row all year. So to lose three games and lose a championship is a bigger choke than this. This is a choke, but don't try to overstate it. You know, losing a championship up 3-1 when you just set the NBA record for wins in a single season is bigger. Come on now.
Draymond Green was suspended, and they were going against an all-time great, LeBron James. The Clippers are going against the Denver Nuggets. We're talking about the 41st pick in the draft in Jokic, Jamal Murray, Jeremy Grant. Come on, Rob.
That's not a fair look at the Nuggets. Last year, they lost in Game 7 to Portland, right, and missed out on going to the Western Conference Finals. In their last four playoff series, they've taken all their teams to seven games. So don't act like they came out of nowhere. This is a tough team that has battled people before. I'm just giving you facts on where they are and where they've been. So they, like last year, they were out of the playoffs, and then all of a sudden they did this. They almost had a chance last year to go to the Western Conference Finals. That's how good they are. It's still a choke job by the Clippers, but don't try to have it magnified. Kawhi Leonard pulled the LeBron James the same way that LeBron played against Dallas when they lost that first championship. You remember in Miami? Oh, not two, not three, not four, not five. You remember that? Remember that series? No, you don't remember that series.
I do.
That's when LeBron disappeared. When LeBron came up small. Kawhi Leonard did a LeBron James last night.
Well, and this is funny. You know, that's the one mark on LeBron that he can't do anything about, the Dallas series. But he can do this. Rob, if he wins a third title with a third different franchise, wherever he goes, they turn into superstars. Yes, he's had some help, but he is the alpha. He is the North Star everywhere he goes. Rob, this will put him, if he gets his title, this will put him over Michael Jordan. I know you're a Jordan guy. This will put LeBron number one.
It won't, because here's the problem. The six losses in the finals don't go away. Come on, man. You know math. How can you look at a guy who's lost six times, the most by any finals MVP in the history of the NBA? Nobody who's won a regular season MVP has ever lost this many times. And people always want to say, well, what about Jerry West? Jerry West never won an MVP.
Nobody talks about Jerry
West. So LeBron is the guy who lost six times. You can't be considered the greatest anything with that many losses hanging on you. LeBron had a great career. 6-0 will always outshine 4-6 or whatever to wind up, even if he wins. And I have a question for you. If they don't win, what does that mean?
That would not be good. That would not be good if they can't get by the Denver Nuggets.
What would that mean? He would be out of that conversation.
Yeah, he. I would not put him over Michael Jordan. He would still be firmly second. LeBron can't hurt himself at this point, Rob. He getting to the finals 10 times hasn't been done in the modern era. Magic only did 9.
It's about winning. If that's the case, how come nobody ever says Marv Levy is one of the greatest coaches in NFL history? He went to the Super Bowl.
He never won
four
times. He never won one.
Four in a row.
He didn't win any, though.
But it's not about going. It's about winning. It's about winning.
I mean, winning is part of it. It's not just who wins the rings. I mean, LeBron has Jordan in every category because of the longevity. Michael Jordan had to quit twice
on the Chicago Bulls.
He quit on his franchise.
If you play long enough and you're healthy, I give him credit for the stats, but it's about winning. If it wasn't about winning, people would marvel at Marv Levy. They had to get a team to the Super Bowl. You know how hard it is to get to the Super Bowl? 4 years in a row, and he's an afterthought, because sports has a short menu. Wins and losses. You know it. That's the only thing. And that's why you know LeBron has to win. Getting to the finals and losing? Imagine if he's 3-7.
That would not be ideal. I would stop bringing up Jordan. 100%.
Okay, as long as you give me that, because don't tell me that 3-7 would be acceptable.
All right, I'll put you on the spot. Rob, is LeBron beating the Nuggets, and in how many games?
I'm not sure yet. I haven't really thought about it. I haven't.
And you have to think about it.
I haven't. And Kenny Smith came on our show. He was on the Odd Couple. And he said one of the D teams is going to come out of the bubble. It's going to go to the finals. And me and Chris scoffed at it. We laughed at it. Dallas got knocked out in the first round by the Clippers, and now Denver has knocked out the Clippers. And I'm just saying, the same way you look in the East with Broussard, like Toronto, after he liked Milwaukee first in Toronto, and it could wind up being Miami. This could wind up being a different finals. What if it's Miami against Denver?
Well, then
nobody ever thought. And I think that there's a real chance of that. It's not impossible, but I haven't made my pick.
Let's just remember, last year, Portland, as you like to bring up, got to the conference finals. They got swept by the Warriors, okay? I mean, like, let's just be realistic, Rob. Like, sometimes fluky things happen. Denver is going to get broomed. That's right, broomed by the Lakers. All right, Rob, let's go to the NFL. I'm going to start with your guy.
I want to make a wager on that. Can we make a chicken wings wager?
We'll do any chicken wings wager, yeah.
All right, let's do that.
What do you want?
20 wings and a Diet Coke on a sweet.
Well, I don't drink soda, but yeah, we'll do that.
You'll get a juice, 20 wings and a drink.
Deal. Done deal. Yeah. So I get to pick the wing spot, right? Or does it have to be...
No, whatever. A good wing spot is good, no matter
what. Oh, I only go high end. All right, Rob Parker, let's pivot to the NFL. Your boy, Tom Brady. By the way, have you had any correspondence with him over social media personally? Because I know you've gone after him. He didn't look great. I thought it was a little overhyped how bad he was in week one. You know, they're playing the Carolina Panthers in week two. Obviously, must win for Brady, but what's your concern level with the 43-year-old old man, Tom Brady?
He is old man. Tom Brady's washed, and nobody will want to believe it or buy into it. Because here's the thing. My phone blew up on Sunday when he had his first drive. Oh, look at that. Oh, this is going to be unbelievable. And then after it all went away, it was like, well, it's only the first game. Oh, well, he didn't know who his receivers are. They're still trying to get a chemistry. Dude, the last pass Tom Brady threw in New England was a pick six. He threw a pick six on Sunday. He's now thrown three pick sixes in the last three games, one in each of his last three games. And this hasn't happened in about 10 years in the NFL, and two never was quarterbacks were the last guys to do it. And now Tom Brady's done it. I said before the season, they will not, Jason, NOT, make the playoffs.
No playoffs.
They won't make the playoffs. Gronk and all the old-timers that they put together. And Tom Brady's 43 years old. His arm strength isn't there. Unless they're going to dink and dunk all the way down the field and play that game and run the football, and Tom Brady's doing that, I do not believe that Tom Brady is the same guy. And he's not. And they will struggle if they think they're going to put Tom Brady in the pocket and have him throw the ball downfield.
I can already tell you what's going to happen in week two. Tom Brady will throw four touchdown passes, 300 yards. They will smother the Carolina Panthers to death. And then you will be like, oh, it's only the Carolina Panthers. I mean, come on. They're terrible. They're going to have the top pick.
And if he loses to Carolina.
Yeah, he's not losing. He's not. It's not happening. Okay. It's not even like in the discussion. Just stop.
Yeah, all right. Just like you said, LeBron wouldn't get swept by the Warriors a couple years ago, right? That wouldn't happen.
No. That was a lock to happen. Come on. That Warriors team was loaded. All right. Your boy Tom Brady. Let's go to his old team, the Patriots. Cam Newton looked real good in week one. They go to Seattle this week, Rob. Do you have a lean on that game? I mean, any thoughts on Cam? I personally don't think it is sustainable. The 15 carries, the beating his old man body is taking.
Well, he's been hurt. I need to see more of him. I think, to be honest, people have judged him while he was hurt the last 2 years. Let's see the guy healthy. I like what they did in that game. They didn't have to throw the ball that much. There'll be other situations where they'll have to air it out. They can't play the same exact game plan, but he can run and he can throw. So depending on the team, depending on the defense and what they give you, I think they'll utilize him the right way. I love what they did in game one. There was no need to go overboard, and he was able to do what he could. He's not old. He's only 31 years old. So I think Cam can play. I have them making the playoffs and Brady and them not making the playoffs. And it'll be interesting to see how people look at Bill Belichick and Brady after this year and what he does with Cam and what Tom does with Tampa.
But isn't he's an old 31, given the beating his body took in Carolina. He was a battering ram running the football. Then the shoulder surgeries, the foot injury. It's not like he's a pocket quarterback at 31, Rob. This is a guy he's taken a pounding.
He has, but I still say he's not an old guy. Tom Brady somehow is out there at 43 years old. You see they roughed him up a little bit like a rag doll. Let's see if they don't protect Tom Brady, how long he's going to hang in there as well. So I get where Cam has been. I'm going to give him the former MVP. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I want to see what this guy can do. If he can stay healthy, they make the playoffs in New England.
All right, so tonight there's a big game, Thursday Night Football, Browns, Bengals. Listen, Rob, I theorized earlier this week here on Straight Fire that Odell Beckham wants out. We've seen the body language, the complaining, get me the ball, throw me, you know, this is just what he does. The Patriots, by the way, have the second most salary cap available. Obviously, Cam and Odell have a good friendship. They worked out in the offseason. You know, do you see Odell Beckham possibly on the move out of Cleveland? Because him and Baker Mayfield don't seem to really get together here. Jarvis Landry's clearly Baker's top target.
Yeah, I think at some point, and it's got to be sooner than later, because if you want to get anything, you don't want, he had a bad, his worst season last year, right, statistically. And if he has a horrible start, then you won't be able to make a move and get anything. So before it's exposed that it's not going to work, if you're going to make a move, I think it has to be, like, soon. So is there a possibility? I think there's a possibility because it just hasn't worked. I mean, I swear to you, I looked down at my phone on Sunday and thought he was hurt because he wasn't in the statue. I just, yeah. I swear, I was looking. I was like, is he not playing?
Yeah.
So to do that with a receiver who at one time wowed America with that catch on Sunday Night Football that I think everybody in America was watching at that time. Because I remember me and Chris Collinsworth at the very same time said, that's the greatest catch I ever saw.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he kind of changed as a person from that moment, right? He became a global superstar. Everybody's following him on Instagram. He's getting big deals with Nike, dating celebrities. And it got to his head, right? I mean, he did the boat trip after that. You know, like, this is a guy, like, I've never been a huge Odell Beckham fan of as him, like, the whole person. As a talent, he's obviously ridiculous, but I don't know. Where are you on the diva wide receivers? Like, we've seen this before. Do you want Odell? And Randy Moss, or do you want Jerry Rice?
I'll take Randy Moss and Odell if they help me win. I mean, Randy Moss was one of the greatest receivers I've ever seen.
No
of course,
doubt.
Jerry Rice is a tremendous receiver. You can balance it as long as you know what you're doing. I don't have an issue with that. There's only one ball, right? And only one guy they're picking to throw to. So there's a lot of machismo that goes with that, right? I'm the guy that they throw the ball to. So I understand that and wanting the ball and talent or whatever, but I don't have an issue. The off the field stuff, as long as you come and play hard every day, and he was until he got banged up, and then he went to Cleveland, and everybody thought they were going to the Super Bowl like Tom Brady and Tampa. To me, Cleveland and Tampa very mirror each other. That everybody was on the bandwagon. I'm sure you were with Cleveland last year, right?
No, I was against them. I'm on them this year, though.
And how you're on them this year?
I like them this year. They're going to win big tonight, Rob. I put a lot of money on the Cleveland Browns tonight to cover 6.
Really? They're going to win the game or cover?
They're going to win and cover. Big blowout. Rob, I know you got your crunch for time here. I got to ask you, you're a Detroit guy, and the Lions lost a heartbreaker, man, in the opener. Now their secondary is totally banged up, and they got to face Aaron Rodgers, who was probably the most impressive quarterback in Week 1. Listen, man, is this same old Lions, Rob? Like, I'm a little worried about the season spiraling. Like, Matt Patricia, a Belichick guy, he's probably toast if they go down 0-4 to start the season.
I think in Detroit, we have a saying, it's called SOL, same old Lions. Just go back, Jason, to 1 year ago. Kyler Murray, they were beating them the entire game. Do you remember last year? And Arizona tied them. They didn't lose. It was a tie. But they gave up the lead. It was almost identical. They were up like 26-3 or 26-6 or something like that. And they gave it up. This is what the Lions do. I covered every home and road game for about 20 years in Detroit, Lions football. And during that span, I saw the Lions lose 24 consecutive road games twice. Twice. So this is the Lions. And Matt Stafford, for all the Hall of Fame numbers he has, let's just be honest. He can't beat any good teams. He's like lifetime. He's like 5-6-45.
I mean, he's never had a defense. Let's not kill Matt Stafford.
No, that's not true.
He's never had a defense.
There was a year that they went to the playoffs against the Cowboys. Look it up, Jason. When Adamican Sue, they were like
one year. Come on, that's been around a decade.
Don't say that they never had. He had Adamican Sue and Calvin Johnson on that team. That team was not as bad as you make it out. I'm just telling
you. They got to the playoffs, yeah. I mean.
And they lost. I'm just saying, he's been in the league for 11 years. They got no playoff wins. Mm. Come on, man. You got to put that on the first overall pick.
Well, it starts at the top. You know, let's not kill Stafford. I mean, the coaching regimes, the GM, Matt Millen, the owner. Like, it's not just on Matt Stafford. You can't beat him up as
not clutch. But if you have that kind of talent, sometimes you have to carry people when you don't have. Would you say Aaron Rodgers always had great defenses?
But they're not in the same discussion. Aaron Rodgers is a legendary top five quarterback all time. Matt Stafford's not anywhere near that. I think he's a Hall of Famer, though.
If you just go by stats, I think it's more than just stats. Anybody can, and that's why I call him Stat Patford. There's a lot of those stats that come after the fact when the game's already decided.
Obviously, I should preface this. Stafford has to win a playoff game to get to the Hall of Fame. You cannot win a playoff game and get in the Hall of Fame. I don't think they even allow that in the NBA, and they let everybody in the NBA Hall of Fame. All right, Rob Parker, thanks a lot for the time, man. You can follow him on social media. He's always talking about mice urinating on something or other. He's a funny guy, good person, good human being. Rob, thanks for the time, man.
All right, Jason, appreciate it.
The only thing better than sitting on your couch watching the game is making money while you do it. Here's your best bet.
All right, it's time for the best bet here on Straight Fire. I'm telling you, this segment will be sponsored soon. The gambling companies know who delivers winners. Of course, Tuesday night, I gave out a double loser. Dropping the record to 15-8-2. But this feels like a layup tonight, folks. The Cleveland Browns, yes, I'm on the Browns again, favored by 6 over the Bengals. Lock them up. Love Cleveland in this spot. And listen, I'm sure people just tuning into the podcast after a couple really strong episodes this week, we saw the numbers. They were good. I know you guys are probably thinking, this guy's on the Cleveland Browns again. And there is a method to my madness. Just the quick 60-second analysis here. If you just saw Ravens 38, Brown 6, and you didn't look at the game, you think the Browns stink and they got destroyed. But I, who was financially invested in the game, watched it, and then you go to the box score afterward to see if what you saw lines up with the numbers. And folks, the Browns drove the ball well on the Ravens. They had 3 drives stall in Baltimore territory, 2 inside the 35, where you normally should score points. Okay? The Browns fumbled inside their own 35 twice. One was on a fake punt. They basically gave the Ravens 10 points, okay? They were 0-for-3 on fourth down. They're not going to be 0-3 on fourth down for the season, okay? Fourth down, they should be delivering at least a 33-50% clip. I'm sure that the Browns can improve on that. They're not going to go 0-for-3 on fourth down again. And lastly, right out of the bat, Baker throws an interception, led to a touchdown. Then they fumble the fake punt, led to a field goal. You're down 10-0 before you've crossed midfield against the team that had the best record in the league last year. You just can't do that in the season opener. I'm not one to overreact, okay? So I'm taking the Browns, favored by 6. Now, the other 2 points on the Bengals, Joe Burrow is a rookie quarterback on a short week. Good luck with that in Cincinnati. Number 2. The Browns are going to run the football tonight. I would guess they'll have over 150 rushing yards. Cincinnati's 2 defensive tackles, Geno Atkins and Mike Daniels, are out. DJ Reader was carted off last week, another defensive tackle, with cramps. He's expected to play. If you can't stop the run in the AFC North, you are in some trouble. I think Stefanski's going to pound Chubb and Hunt heavily. I do think we'll see Odell Beckham get in the mix. I mean, if not, Odell might ask for a trade after the game. But I like the Browns, something about 30-13, a convincing win. And listen, if they don't win this game convincingly, and if Baker doesn't show up, and if he gets beat by Burrow, the Cleveland Browns have some major problems. Because you know what happens if you start 0-2. Since 2007, you have an 11% chance to make the playoffs. That's it. All right, folks, enjoy the game tonight. NFL, NBA will be back tomorrow with the usual Friday shenanigans. NFL picks on the biggest games of the weekend. Remember, subscribe, rate, and review. I'm out.